I'm glad that you are here today. Let us go together to our Father in prayer, and then we'll dig in the Word. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for today. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for caring about us enough to refuse to leave us alone, to refuse to leave us in our sins. We thank you, Father, for the discipline that you show us to get us back in your path. We thank you, Father, for the times in which we are corrected and you care about us enough to save us from ourselves. Father, we thank you for the love you have shown us in your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for the gifts that we receive. Father, as we look at you more closely today, our prayer is that our eyes are opened, that our hearts are open. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the last few weeks we've been looking at John chapter 5 and the witnesses that Jesus calls upon that vouch for his identity and who he is. And really, big picture, the question that we're trying to look at is Jesus God? Is Jesus God? And this is such a big question because, number one, people's Trinitarian theology is rather shaky. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And how do we reconcile these three entities that are somehow one? And what does one mean? We are trying to get to the question of who exactly Jesus is and who he was and who he shall be. And a lot of the times that people really think about in questions of identity, of who exactly he is, and is he God, is he not God, is he sent from God, is he equal to God, is he beneath God, and all of these things. And a lot of times people ask the wrong questions. And the question I want us to see this morning is, can he be believed? Is Jesus believable? The words he says, are they true? Are they true? Because if the words he says are true, if he is to be believed, then, well, that poses to each and every one of us what we'll do with them. What we'll do with them. So, John chapter 5, we looked at those witnesses, and he had to deal with this question of, does he have the same authority as the Father, or is he's just a guy who comes along and he's just sharing his own message and doing his own thing. And today we're going to take a look at John chapter 17. John chapter 17 in your Bible is labeled the high priestly prayer. This is where Jesus is closer to the end of his earthly ministry and he is calling upon the name of the Lord in the presence of his disciples. But in doing so, Jesus reveals so much about what God is doing. And what I want you to notice as we read through this, we're going to break it up into some smaller pieces, but what I want you to notice are the things given to the Son by the Father. Okay? So as we read through this, you will notice given. So if we believe in God, if we believe that there is one above us, one who created everything, and one that has our hearts and our love and our faith and our allegiance and everything that God deserves. That if there is a God, and what is Jesus' relation to him, and how does that affect my relation to him? So notice the word give this morning. John chapter 17, starting in verse 1. When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven, and he said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all flesh, to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. All right, so the first thing that Jesus does in verse 2 is he says that the Father has given him authority over all flesh. All right, so if we believe in Jesus, if we trust him, if we take him at his word, if what he says is true, then God has given him rule over all flesh. That means everybody. That means everybody. That means God has given Jesus the place and the authority to be above everybody. That is authority over all flesh. So, if I'm going to claim a belief in God, yes, I believe in God, I'm just not going to accept Jesus. I'm not going to accept who he says he is or what Christians say that he is. Well, Jesus says this is what the Father has given me. The Father has put me in a position over everyone. It didn't come from Jesus, it came from God the Father. But it has been given to Jesus. Real quick, a couple verses in Revelation chapter 2. Revelation 2:26, Jesus says this. The one who conquers and who keeps my works until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations. And he will rule them with a rod of iron, as when earthen pots are broken in pieces. Even as I myself have received authority from my Father. So in talking to the churches, Jesus in Revelation, he says to believers, he says, look, I have been given authority by my Father in heaven, and I am going to give some of that authority to you to rule over the nations, the peoples. And so it ties in and it helps us see and know what Jesus is talking about here in John chapter 17, that he has received authority. And what does he do with that authority? Well, in verse 2, he says that authority over all flesh is to give eternal life. So the Father has given the authority to Jesus the Son to give eternal life to those who belong to the Father, which is an amazing gift. And again, you can imagine those who stood opposed to Jesus while he was in the flesh, those who stand opposed to Jesus even today, what they are turning down. To deny Jesus is to accept death. To deny Jesus is to accept death, because eternal life is what Jesus has been authorized to give. Now, we're starting to make some bold statements. We're starting to get into uncomfortable neighborhoods when Jesus says such things. In verse 4, Jesus says, I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. So the Father has given the Son work to do. He gave him a job. He said, you're going to go down with all of our people and you're going to do some things. You're going to accomplish some things. You're going to accomplish my will. So Jesus says, I have done this, Father, and since I have done this, I am asking that you bring me back to the position and the state of being that Jesus enjoyed before he was constrained and limited by the flesh. So he says, restore to me the glory that I had before, and I'm coming back to you, and I would like to have that same glory again. So now, Jesus is making the claim, he's come from the Father, he's been given a work to do from the Father, and he is saying, I am other, and I am eternal. I am eternal. Now, to those who hear these words, to those who know the scriptures of God, and I'm speaking specifically to the audience of mostly Jewish audience that Jesus would have been ministering to, that they should have caught these things, they should hear these things and understand the fulfillment of what Jesus was bringing about. Specifically, let's look over, turn back to Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Isaiah 9, 6 says, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So before Jesus comes in the flesh, the prophet Isaiah is telling God's people, look, eternal is going to come through a child. That is, he is going to inhabit flesh. He is going to be born into the world as we have been born into the world. That God is going to appear. God is going to manifest himself in such a way that you and I can see and hear and observe and relate to. And that's what Isaiah is preparing God's people for. Which, again, even this is a strange thing. So when Jesus comes in his earthly ministry and says, I am from the Father. God has sent me to you. And because of that fact, you need to know several things about what God is doing. They should have. Because he fulfilled so many things in the Old Testament scriptures and the parts of the Bible that were written before he comes to earth. And Isaiah 9:6, that the son, the child that is born, will carry those same titles. It's one of the words for God that we look, the mighty God, El Gabor, and everlasting. Everlasting, eternal. Eternal. So Jesus has the same eternal nature as God the Father. All right, back to John 17. Starting in verse 6. And again, listen to Gave. I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me. And they have kept your word. Now they know that everything that you have given me is from you. For I have given them the words that you gave me, and they have received them and have come to know in truth that I came from you. And they have believed that you sent me. I am praying for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me. For they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. And I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. While I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given me. I have guarded them, and not one of them has been lost except the son of destruction, that the scripture might be fulfilled." All right, so the things that the Father has given the Son, in verse 6, the Father gives the Son people to manifest his name. He said, you gave me your people, and God had his own people, his own tribe, his own nation. And Jesus says, you have given me your people, that I have come to them. I have come in the flesh. I have come to earth as God saying, this is what I'm providing for you. This is what I'm doing for you. In the communion service this morning, Jerry was talking about the gift that God gives us in his son Jesus being that perfect sacrifice that we need to have our sins forgiven. And so Jesus is saying here, the Father is giving me to you. And all of his peoples with eyes open and hearts open who are searching for, well, we know that God exists. We know that he's here. We can't see him. We can't experience him fully, but you know, we believe in him. And Jesus says, yes, you believe in him. I am from him. I am his gift to you. So what does that gift mean? What is God given? In verse 7, now they know that everything that you have given me is from you. Everything that Jesus had, everything that Jesus is from the Father. He couldn't do the works that he did. He couldn't live the life of perfect obedience that he did. He could not love everyone that he encountered the way that he did. He could not have stayed on the cross when everyone was killing him and insulting him. He could not have done all those things if not from the Father. In verse 8, for I have given them the words that you gave me. So Jesus says, look, what I am preaching and teaching to them, these are the words that you have given me to share. So we are starting to see this, this exalted importance of everything that Jesus says and does. And he is letting everyone know, you must take seriously my life and my ministry and my service and my death and my burial and my resurrection, because this is your Father in heaven reaching out to you. And those who would bypass Jesus or try to bypass Jesus and say, well, you know, I believe in God, but I don't need Jesus, or Jesus is somehow less, or Jesus was a perfect guy, but he's no savior. Jesus lived a great life and he taught some wonderfully moral things, but I'm not going to put my faith in him. Well, Jesus says that's not possible, because everything I am giving you is directly from the Father. This is the Father's will. This is how the Father has chosen to act on your behalf. So again, it would be like, you know, any scenario you can think of this is how things are set in motion. And you say, well, I want the benefit of that. I just don't want to gain that benefit in the way that is required. Right? So everything we know about the Son of God coming to us and saying, this is what the Father is providing and giving, and this is how you get it. In verse 9, he says, I am praying for those that you have given me. And then in verse 11, he says that he has given him his name. So the Son of God, Jesus, has the name of God upon him. And he is praying for those who believe in his name. He's praying for those who believe in his name. And he continues in verse 13. He says, but now I am coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Jesus says, I'm coming back. I'm coming back, Father, to you, to where I was, to where I'm going to be. And I am sharing these things with all of them so that they may be filled with joy, that they may be have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Now, this is not a lesson on joy, but just listen to those words. Jesus says, Father, I want them to have my joy fulfilled in them. Another gift. Jesus says, Father in heaven, please, let them experience and know and live and trust the same joy that I have. And, you know, when you look at the life of Jesus, when you see what he said and what he did and how he interacted with people, joy may not be one of those adjectives that you would just throw on there, right? I mean, because you get the idea of the suffering servant and the pain that he experienced and the difficult lessons he had to teach and all the opposition. You just don't get the picture of Jesus just kind of whistling down the street, just, you know, do-do-do-do. I don't usually have that picture of him in your mind. But Jesus says all these things are possible and being accomplished because I'm fulfilled with your joy. And I want them to have that same joy. That in itself is a wonderful gift. Verse 14, I've given them your word and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself that they also may be sanctified in truth. Jesus says to the Father about his believers, he says, Father, just as my origin is not here, their origin is not here. Let them know it. They still have to be here. I'm coming back to you. My time of difficulty is about to be over, but they're still going to be here. So, Father, I want them to be so set apart by your truth that they know who they are and whose they are. Church, you have to know whose you are. You have to know who you are. You have to know your origin story. You have to know where you came from. You have to know where you're going. And we do that by being sanctified, by being made holy, by being set apart from the world in the truth of God, because there is no other truth. There is no other truth. God gives truth. Nobody else does. Verse 20, I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, and that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I and them and you and me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am to see my glory that you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. So Jesus says, Father, I thank you because the glory that you have given me, I have given them. That is the position that God the Father, the maker of all things, the exalted position that he has placed upon Jesus Christ, his Son. Jesus says, I am giving that same place of honor to all those who believe in me. Father, let them stay connected to that. Let them know this to the core of their being. So that just as you and I are one, that they may all become perfectly one. Again, this is where a lot of people get confused with the ideas of the Godhead and the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. How are they all three? How are they all one? And we get into these weird metaphysical discussions of how, well, you know, God is perfect and he is outside of creation and he can inhabit and inhibit, you know, these different forms and be in, you know, everywhere all at once. And we go down some weird things and we follow people down some weird things. The oneness that Jesus is describing here is unity. It's unity. When you think of Jesus saying, Father, you and I are one, he is not talking identity as much as he is talking unity. Now, what's the basis of that? The basis of that is Jesus is extending this description and state of being to us. So Jesus says, Father, I want them to have the same oneness with each other and with us that you and I enjoy. And so Jesus is conferring upon us a level of fellowship that is provided by God, that is possible only through God. And he is saying, you and I are so connected. I want them to be that connected. Why? Because it is God the Father that gives all these good gifts. And so Jesus wants us to receive and enjoy all the things that the Father has given. But all the things that the Father has given has been given through the Son. That is why when we read in the Bible and we hold on to our Christian views and beliefs and faith, and we know with all of our hearts that no one is coming to the Father except through the Son. That's the Father's will. The Father said, I'm going to send my Son. I'm going to send my Son to you. You need to listen to him. You need to believe him, because everything he has and does and says is directly from me. And that's what Jesus is doing. And he is bringing all of that, saying, he's saying to the Father, I am coming back to you, and I know that you're going to put me back where I was before I had to endure this life in the flesh. You're going to put me back in that place of honor. You're going to put me back in that exalted position. And when you do, and all of our people are still down here, I want them to be filled with the joy that I am filled with. And I want them to be united with the unity that you and I enjoy. And I want them to know that I am still with them. These are amazing promises. These are amazing promises. These are amazing gifts. So the gifts of God that he has given us through his Son, Jesus Christ, these are the things that we hold on to. These are the things that we enjoy when we believe what he says. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, we're going to take a look at a couple things that will hopefully help us tie these down better in our hearts. Maybe that's a way to put that. Anchor them into our own lives. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. 1 Corinthians 8 verse 6. Yet for us, there is one God, the Father. Okay? We are monotheistic. We believe there is one God. It is our Father in heaven, right? All right. From whom are all things and for whom we exist. And then what does Paul say? The very next words. One Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom are all things and through whom we exist. Now, we're going to dig into this in the coming weeks. We're going to flesh this idea out a little bit more, but I wanted you to see this today, okay? From, through. Very important. Very important. There is one God from whom is everything. Everything is from God. He started it all. It's all from Him. He is above it all. And He has chosen to act through Jesus Christ. So we have one God. And we also have one Lord. One Lord. Somebody help me out. This word used for Lord in the Greek. What does it mean in essence? To say Jesus Christ is Lord. What is your confession? Just that word though. Not all the titles that He carries. But what does Lord mean in the Bible? What? Thank you. Master. There is one God. He is the Father. And there is one Lord. One Master. One who I am, well, one that I belong to. And that is Jesus Christ. And if I belong to Jesus Christ, if He is my master, that is, He dictates what I say, what I know, where I go, what I do, He is my master. I have one master, Jesus Christ. What does Jesus tell me to do? How does Jesus call me to live? Everything that Jesus says, that's what I am obligated to be obedient to. So there is one God, and that God is the source. Everything comes from Him. And there is one Lord, one Master, and everything goes through Him. Okay? So again, we're going to flesh this out in coming weeks, but I want you to see that idea, because that is what Jesus was talking about, saying, Father, I'm coming back to You, and You have given me all these wonderful things, but You gave them to me to give to them. And I want them to experience these things, but they have to know. They can't just say, I don't need Jesus. Forget Jesus. There is one God, and that's where I'm going. Well, that one God said, well, if you want to come to Me, you got to go through Him. And that's our faith. That is our faith. That is what God has called the world to. That is the way He has chosen to act and to speak and to reach out to us. We can't bypass the extension that God has offered and say, I don't want that path. I don't want that way. I'll just ignore that and I'll just get to God another way. And no, you won't. No, you won't. Josh read for us in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, and we'll bring it over there. Wrap it up. Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul says, hey, look, I'm encouraging you to walk in a way that matches the calling that you have received. Right? You are called to be God's children. God says, hey, I want you to believe in Me, to trust in Me, to be a part of My family. But to be a part of My family, that looks a certain way. And that's how you need to act. That's how you live your life. Right? You ever had... did you ever have your parents just tell you, hey, you're a part of this family and we don't do that? Alyssa said, no, no. Sometimes we get some of that familial identity to where this is who we are, this is what we do. And maybe it was, I'll throw it to the kids, the younger ones. You ever said to your parents there's something you really wanted to do? And you said, well, so-and-so is doing it. Yeah, see, now I get the honesty. Yeah, so-and-so's doing it. Why can't I do it? Did your parents just go, oh, well, if so-and-so's doing it, then I guess it's okay. No. Why not? That's not us, right? I don't care if so-and-so's doing it. And, you know, then you might have got the, if so-and-so jumped off something tall. Yeah, you know these stories. We all tried to say, hey, Mom, this activity is okay. You should really let me go because so-and-so is going, and I know you trust, even when you don't trust me, you trust so-and-so. Right? Paul says, look, God has called us to be a part of his family, and being a part of his family means that we act a certain way. We act a certain way. And again, yes, sometimes like unruly children, we're like, well, I don't want to act a certain way. I want to act a different way. I don't want to follow your rules. I just want to do what I want to do. I don't want to be obedient. I just want to be free. Well, Paul says here in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2, this requires humility. This requires humility and gentleness and patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Then he gives us the ones, the body and the Spirit, a hope. One Lord. One Lord, that means one Master. One faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. All right, so there's one God. He is the Father. And everything comes from him. And he fills up everybody. Verse 7. But grace was given to each of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men. All right, so when Jesus goes back to the Father, he releases all of these gifts that the Father has given him to give. Now, when we read this, we're usually just in that whole spiritual gift thing. Like, Jesus went back to heaven and now we have, so now we have the Father and the Son are up there, but somehow the Spirit's down here with us. And so now we have these spiritual gifts, right? Again, our Trinitarian, it just messes with us. It just gets things out of the way. When Jesus went back, he released all of these gifts. Where do I get all the gifts? John 17. John 17, Jesus says, I'm coming back to you, but we're going to leave them this. And we're going to leave them this. And we're going to give them this gift. And we're going to give them this gift. And I want them to enjoy these things. I want them to be so connected to you, because you're the one who is giving all these gifts. And they really need to know that the way that you have chosen to give these gifts is through me. So church, for us and for the world, the gift of God is his Son, Jesus Christ, and everything that comes along with that. And no one will taste or receive or enjoy God's gifts without his Son, because that is how the Father has chosen to act. It's all from him, but it's all through him. Making sense? I am thankful I get a couple head nods, so I hope some of it is making sense. This is, I know some of it sounds funny. Some of it's kind of some deep theology. Christ gives us the gifts of God. He descended, and then he ascended. And so I need to read this last verse, verse 9. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he also descended into the lower regions, the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. All things are filled in Jesus Christ. How do we know? Because he is the one who is with God above all things. He is the one who came down here with us from God to fill all things. And he is the one that through the resurrection from the dead has ascended and gone back to the Father. So God's love, again, you know John 3:16. For God so loved the world. How do we know that God loved the world? He gave us his Son. And his Son is here, and his Son says, hey, I am that gift that the Father has given to you, and that gift includes all these things. But you have to believe to receive all these gifts. And so Jesus calls us to believe. He calls us to faith. He calls us to trust that he comes from the Father. And so we read his words, we listen to what he has said, we see what he has done, and we receive the gifts that he has left us. And church, that gift, the gift of Jesus Christ, to encounter all of these, to enjoy all of these, we need to be one with him. And he tells us how to be one with him. He says that old life of sin, it's got to go. Everything that is not of God, it's got to go. Well, how do I do that? And he says, good news. It's got to die. That's what our baptism is. That God has given us a way to die and to be buried and to be reborn to walk in a new life with him. So, if you have not been united with God through Christ, we invite you to that today. And if you are united with God through Christ, be filled with the joy and the gifts that Jesus has brought to us. It's all from the Father.